game is over when the horn sounds. The analysis ends when you say it does. This is Overtime Open Line. Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. And now, the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chess.
Well, it got a little interesting in the third period, but do not be fooled. It was overall a pretty drab performance by your Edmonton Oilers, and they lose 6-3 to the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. 2-0 Toronto after one, 5-0 after two, and then the Oilers got power play goals from Hyman and Perry. Draisaitl scored with 3:39 left. Nugent Hopkins hit the post with 2:20 left, but yeah, it wasn't meant to be that huge comeback by any means. Matthews got his 58th into an empty net with 12.1 seconds left. So 6-3, the final damage. Edmonton now 42-22-4 on the season. The Leafs are 40-20-9. Hyman did get his 49th. McDavid got three assists. He's up to 89 on the season as he tries to become just the fourth player ever to have 100 assists in a season. It's 14 minutes after 8. Hope you're having a great Saturday despite the Oilers loss, assuming you're an Oilers fan tonight. It's Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line along with Rob Brown. I'm Reed Wilkins. To me, the Oilers were quite poor for the first two periods, and I guess you could probably say the Leafs were relatively poor for the third period to give the Oilers somewhat of a chance late in the game, but a pretty substandard, to say the least, opening 40 minutes for Edmonton.
Yeah, 100%. I think the biggest problem for the Oilers is defensively. They just weren't detailed. Turning the puck over, slow on the back check. Getting caught watching the puck. Wrong side defensively. All kinds of just grade A chances they were giving the Toronto Maple Leafs. And we've talked about it over the last few weeks for the Oilers early in hockey games against, you know, the Montreals and the Buffaloes of the league, how they were slow getting into games and were just not focused when it came to making the right defensive plays. But those teams could find a way to be up 2-1 or could find themselves in a hockey game. And when the Oilers push in the third, they win. But when you play good teams, it's not, you're not down one, you're down four, you're down five. And the Toronto Maple Leafs just kept taking advantage of the big mistakes that the Oilers were making. And it was top to bottom. It was from Connor McDavid all the way to Evan Bouchard, all the way down the line. Adam Hendrick, everybody for the Oilers was struggling when it came to defensive responsibilities. And a good Toronto team through 40 minutes took full advantage of it. And then in the third period, the Leafs with a 5-0 lead fell asleep a little bit. And the Oilers made it interesting. But this was a game that the Oilers were not going to win the way they were playing.
No, I totally agree with you, Rob. And yeah, you mentioned it. It was up and down the line. Quite frankly, I thought, as we've said the last couple of games, I thought that at times the Oilers' bottom six guys were able to push the pace a little bit, but the guys higher up in the lineup didn't do much. You saw frustration from Draisaitl and McDavid and other guys as the game went on. Nurse got 12 minutes worth of penalties at the end of the second period, and just massive blunders. I mean, you talked about it after the first period, Bobby McMahon all alone in front of the net to beat Skinner, and then that third goal, which really kind of opened it up. The Oilers are starting a neutral zone breakout with one Leaf applying token pressure. The pass goes to into his feet. Matthews mystifies Bouchard in the corner. The Holmberg's got the puck in the net to make it 3-0. So just some massive blunders by Edmonton tonight.
There were, and there's a saying, you know, take a hit to make a play. And on the Bouchard one, yeah, he doesn't go. He kind of jumps out of the way and thinking that Matthews is going to hit him. And then Matthews, smart play, went one way, and Bouchard just took the wrong route. And that's one thing. Okay, you make a mistake, happens all the time. All players make mistakes, but don't compound it with an effort problem afterwards. And right after Matthews got the puck in the corner, it turns into a 3-on-2, and Bouchard's slow to the net. If he skates back hard to the net, and you know, come to the house. Anytime there's a turnover, you don't know where to go, go to the house. If he goes to the house, maybe that play back door that Domi made isn't there. So those are plays, and it's not just on Evan Bouchard. There were a lot of players tonight that were making mistakes defensively, and teams like Toronto, the Vancouver Canucks, the Colorado Avalanche, those teams you cannot make mistakes against because they've got the talent level to make you pay. And tonight, through 40 minutes, the Leafs made the Oilers pay.
Yeah, and that's a frustrating thing, right? We know the Oilers are a good third-period team. They got three. You know, now, Toronto didn't close it out well. They opened the door there for Edmonton. I mean, a puck over the glass penalty, a needless offensive zone penalty. But, you know, hey, if the other team's making mistakes, you got to capitalize. But that's the frustrating thing, Rob. Like, the Oilers play a little more responsibly, a little more thoroughly. Maybe they're only down 2-0 after two. And those goals mean a lot more in the third period, right?
Oh, 100%. And think about it, too. The Toronto Maple Leafs were missing three top players in this lineup. They had three of their best forwards out of the lineup, and the Oilers weren't able to take advantage of it. So three of the forwards who played tonight don't normally play for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and the Oilers weren't able to take advantage of it. Yeah, it was just, I think there were a lot of similarities that we saw in this game that we saw at times against the Montreal Canadiens, that we saw at times through the first 40 against the Buffalo Sabres, except those teams are non-playoff teams. Tonight was a Toronto team that is a very good hockey club, and they've got depth throughout their lineup. And if you make mistakes, they're going to take advantage of it. And tonight, the Oilers, it wasn't through lack of effort. It was just lack of detail and things that have crept into the Oilers' games at times that when the Oilers are playing well, they're very good at. Tonight, they were not good at the detailed part of the defensive part of their game.
Yeah, I hear you there, Rob. Certainly some massive gaffes. And you mentioned, I'm not sure Matthews had a good game, Tavares, but you didn't notice those guys mm-hmm. as much, right? It's McMahon, the Alberta kid, a couple of goals. Holmberg, a couple of goals. Nylander did get the other one, but this wasn't the Oilers were sloppy and Tavares has seven shots on goal and Matthews has nine grade A scoring chances, right? This was just, letting some other guys who usually don't do a lot of damage be the ones that beat you tonight.
But it also shows you, Reed, and we're going to see this come playoff time, that if you fall asleep on good teams, their good team's depth can still beat you. We saw that with the Vegas Golden Knights last year. If you fell asleep on their third or fourth line, they're capable of putting the puck in the net. The teams that are at the bottom of the standings, they don't have the depth. So their third or fourth lines, if you make a mistake, they're not going to capitalize. But good teams do have guys further down the lineup. And I think we saw that tonight in this game is the Oilers just fell asleep at times. There was a 3-on-3 that I can't remember what goal it was for McMahon. I think it was the fifth goal of the game. It was a 3-on-3, and McDavid got caught watching the puck. McMahon stops, puts himself in a nice quiet area, and has time to stop the puck and then put the puck on net. He had an uncontested shot on a 3-on-3. Those are the things that have hurt the Oilers in the past, and they certainly hurt them tonight. So, yes, it wasn't the Auston Matthews show, and obviously no Mitch Marner in the lineup. But the Toronto Maple Leafs are better now than they have been in the past with depth players, and the depth players tonight were very good against the Oilers.
All right, 6-3, the Maple Leafs win it. Let's go back to Toronto and go at the mic for Edmonton International Airport. Fly nonstop to over 50 destinations. Fly EAA.com/nonstop. Oilers head coach Chris Knobloch.
Chris, what were the contributing factors that led to a 5-0 deficit in the opening 40 minutes?
Well, I think a couple things. We didn't capitalize on our early opportunities that we had in the first period, especially the McDavid line. Spent a lot of time in the offensive zone, just didn't capitalize, and that set us back. And then we also had a couple power plays, and we don't capitalize on our two power plays. They score on theirs, and it just snowballed from there.
What's the primary lesson after a game like this?
Just we have to play hard the whole time. I thought we came out hard, and just the mistakes that we made were too costly. Just they were able to get that puck to the slot for the first goal against, where we're all in good positions, but just it's got to be harder for them to make that play. So, yeah, I think tonight we didn't make many mistakes, but when we did, there were big ones, and they capitalized on them. And it was unfair for Stu. I'm not sure any of those chances he's going to have, but I think the chances we gave were too big.
Well, no doubt about that. As the Leafs beat the Oilers 6-3, those are some quick comments from head coach Chris Knobloch. He referenced a couple early power plays, Rob, and again, who knows? It's a 5-0 game at one point, but if the Oilers get an early power play goal, they had a power play less than a minute into the first period, you never know how that's going to go. I want to talk about the power plays for Conlon Motorsports. They'll help get you out there. Visit one of Conlon Motorsports' 4 locations across Alberta or online at conlonmotorsports.ca. So the Oilers went 2-for-5 on the power play. That's an excellent percentage. The Leafs went 1-for-3. But I would give the Leafs the edge in the special teams battle because of how they killed the penalties in the first two periods and also when they killed them.
Yeah, I agree. When the game was hung in the balance, the Leafs got their power play goal and they killed off the momentums of the Oilers. You know, if the Oilers, again, if the Oilers score in their first power play, the Leafs are chasing a game. They didn't have to chase the whole night. So that changes the way you play if all of a sudden you're chasing a game. The Oilers got their power play goals once the game was out of hand. So, yeah, I would agree with that. And I thought this is the first time I've seen a team as aggressive. We talked about it at the end of a period, aggressive killing the penalties against the Edmonton Oilers. Like, they were coming out. There was a couple of body checks thrown. Every time an Oilers power play gets killed off, teams around the league are watching the video. Okay, what did they do? How can we stop them? Whoever plays the Oilers in the first round of the playoffs will have to slow down the Oilers power play if they want to have a chance of winning a series. So anytime you see a team have success against the Oilers, other teams are going to try to mimic that if they can. Having said all of that, the Oilers seem to find ways to change up their power play to not allow that to happen. But yes, in this game, the Leafs, when the game was in hand, when it was still in the balance, they were the better team special lead.
I'm going to throw another one at you, and it's I respectfully will ask this knowing that it's hard for you to really know. So, you know, I'm asking you to speculate a little bit. When a player has the milestone imminent, like Hyman does, and there's all the other storylines, he's in his hometown, he's with the team that let him walk in free agency, I mean, can that be a distraction? Because it didn't, I mean, this wasn't a very... you know, kind of focused, detailed performance by the Oilers, as we were talking about. Could have that been something lodged in their minds and not in a good way tonight?
I don't think so. I mean, Ekholm the other night, when they were asked about Hyman scoring his 50th at home, he goes, I know he had a lot of goals. I didn't know where he was, so he had no idea. There was a lot of players that were not detailed defensively when Hyman wasn't on the ice. So it had nothing to do with him. Sometimes I would think Connor and Leon would make a conscious effort on the power play to look to Hyman first. But other than that, no. That's not crossing the players' minds. And the mistakes that the Oilers were making, and as Knobloch just said, the big mistakes, none of those had to do anything with Hyman trying to get his 50th goal. So, and no. I've seen teams try to get guys goals, and it'll be on a power play where they continually try to pass to him over and over and over again. That didn't happen tonight. So this was a game where the Oilers just, it mimicked a lot of the games that we've seen as of late, where the Oilers at times lose their defensive focus. And when they do that, they allow other teams, A, lower teams to hang around, or better teams to jump on them.
All right. I set the line at 1.5 for River Cree Resort and Casino. Excitement, bet on it. Goals for Hyman tonight. He just got the one, so it's under. Chantel took that, so she gets the $50 River Cree Resort and Casino gift card. You're going to hear from Leon Draisaitl and from Darnell Nurse. You can chime in on our hotline, 780-496-0063, presented by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed, pro all the way. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers, 630 Chad.
And Austin Matthews will pick up a loose puck and bring it through the neutral zone to Max Domi. Right circle crosses. Wrist shot, save made.
Wow.
On nice by Calvin Pickard, who pushed hard off that left skate and fought it off.
Yeah, big save there by Pickard. That's the save of the game for Crystal Glass. Call 310 Glass or visit crystalglass.ca. He took over for Skinner at the start of the third. That shot was about 25 seconds after Perry had scored to make it 5-2. So the Oilers were still in Hail Mary country there, but at least Pickard gave him a chance as Toronto wins the game 6-3 after having a 5-0 lead after two. So all four goalies played. Skinner, the first two periods, he stopped 18 out of 23. Samsonov played just over 56 minutes. He stopped 31 out of 34. Martin Jones came in for the end of the game, and he winds up getting credited with five saves each for Pickard and Jones. I just was checking Twitter here. Sheldon Keefe says it looks like he's going to be fine in relation to Samsonov, Rob, who got splayed out trying to stop the Draisaitl goal that made it 5-3.
Yeah, he didn't look like he was going to be fine as he's laid on his belly there for quite a while and then had to limp down the hallway. I hope he is fine. The Leafs have had a lot of problems this year with injuries with their goaltenders, and they finally got a healthy Samsonov playing better, and then that happened. So you hope it's nothing serious. You hope he gets back. But he was trying to go one side to the other very quickly, and he went in a position, Reed, that neither you or I would ever get into. So we would never have that injury because we wouldn't be able to do any sort of split like that.
Who would you put in net tomorrow for Edmonton?
I think they'll go with Skinner. I think that he's their starter. He's the one that is going to take them to the hopefully promised land. I don't think they want him to sit on a night like that. I don't think it was on him. But five goals through 40 minutes, I think they're going to want to get him back into a game quickly, have a good feeling about himself. So I would expect the reason they pulled him was to get him a little extra rest so that they can play him again tomorrow.
By the way, we'll give Calvin Pickard the fourth star tonight for Jandell Homes, Alberta's premier modular home retailer. The three stars tonight as picked in the arena. McMahon gets the first star, Holmberg the second star, and with three assists, Connor McDavid was given the third star tonight. Really, much too little, much too late for the Oilers, who were pretty thoroughly outplayed through 40 minutes before making it somewhat interesting in the third. $300 donation to 630 Chet Sands Anonymous from James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. They are given $100 every time the Oilers score. We have Brian on the Certainty Hotline. Brian, go ahead, please.
Hey, good evening, guys. Well, first off, I have to respectfully disagree with Rob, because we talked last time I called in about the officiating, and I mean, it was. I'm sorry, I have to call it. It was atrocious as far as I was concerned tonight. I mean, There was one span where Draisaitl, he was literally cross-checked into the boards two times in the span of about 5 seconds. McDavid gets an elbow in the head. Yanmark gets an elbow in the head. One of the Leafs is going off of the to his bench. And instead of going straight to the bench, he actually stops right in front of McDavid, interfering with his momentum to go into his end. I mean, you know, interference calls just don't seem to happen a lot, like they, as far as I'm concerned, and there is a rule book. Call the bloody game by the rule book. Now I've done that rant. My question, though, that I'll pose to both of you is in reference to the Oilers' power play, because they've had a little bit of issues in the last few games, but I find that they seem to be taking too long to make their passes. They're telegraphing where the pass is going, and a lot of times it's getting picked off, it's getting intercepted, and it seems like the teams are playing the Oilers in, hey, you know what? A, it's going to Draisaitl, and B, they're going to be passing instead of shooting because they just don't have the shoot mentality.
Okay. Yeah, we'll let Rob jump in there. Brian,
well,
thanks for calling.
You only notice that every fan notices when his team is not penalized or there's something goes against us. I had nothing wrong with the refs, were fine tonight. They go both ways. So I think that when the Oilers lose, we always seem to find fault in the refs. As for the Oilers' power play, I mean, they're second in the NHL. They're 40% in the game tonight. Now, they weren't good in the first three. They still did score two power play goals. Their power play is good. Their power play wins them a lot of hockey games. When Connor and Leon have the puck, I trust that they're making the right decision. They get to see everything from ice level. We have the advantage of watching it on TV or watching it from the press box. It looks way easier up top. We can see plays that they can't. But the fact that they're the second best power play in the National Hockey League, it's really hard to find a lot of fault in them. There's some nights it's not as good as others, but they seem to adapt quite well. And I have got absolutely zero fear of their power play not being an effective power play for the Oilers come playoff time.
Yeah, I think the one thing we talk about, Rob, and I think and we used to talk about this even before Bouchard was on the power play, when Barry was on the point, and it might have a quieter night or a quieter week or two. Well, we probably even talked about it. Actually, a couple of years where the Oilers were out of the playoffs, they had good power plays, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get that shot away, right? And they want to get to Drysdale to that one-timer, but they did try some other plays today, right? Like they were going down low, the quick touch out front. The goals Hyman scored was on the redirection. But I do think it's an old cliche that applies that if something's going on, you got that weapon from the line with Bush, right? Like I will never be upset if he just wants to fire away and as quickly as possible, quite frankly.
Yeah, no coach will ever be upset right with that either. But the thing is, the Oilers' power play is better than 31 other teams in the National Hockey League. So it's and tonight they scored two power play goals, and neither of their power play goals were goals where they're trying to force it to Draisaitl. They're both backdoor plays, really nice plays, and not easy ones. I give credit to both Perry and Hyman. Not easy to be able to take the puck one way and push it back. So good plays. Yeah, again, their power play is second in the National Hockey League. It broke records last year. So there are some nights that you think and we think we'll be watching in the stands, why didn't he shoot? They're seeing it differently from the ice. And I trust both Connor and Leon, when they have the puck on their stick, they're going to make the right decisions. And there was a couple, right at the end of the game, the 6-on-5, wonderful play Hyman made up high to Nugent Hopkins. He puts one off the post. And it's not a power play, but a 6-on-5 mainly is. The Oilers' power play is fine. It will be fine come playoff time.
All right, let's go back to Toronto. Here's Leon Draisaitl.
Leon, just maybe walk us through your I guess insight on the game and what it was like for you.
Weird game, I thought. I think they probably capitalized on every single one of their chances, and we gave up a little too much the first 40, and they did a good job of, like I said, capitalizing on their looks. Just gave up too much in the first 40.
Did you feel like you had the chances early, though, to kind of get the game going in your direction?
Yeah, I mean, we certainly did. Lots of looks in the first 10, and then obviously lots of looks in the last 20. So, but it's tough to win any games when you give up five. So, something to clean up.
These games, you feel like if you had five more minutes, though, you guys were just pushing so hard, I got it.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. They did a good job at the end, but maybe. I don't know.
What's the messaging in the group after 40 minutes of play in terms of winning that period and maybe to take in some positive momentum?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Just go out, play 20 good minutes, and take that into the next game. And just try and build something.
Yeah. All right, a little bit there from Leon Draisaitl, who gets his 36th of the season. It was that 6-on-5 goal Rob was talking about, but not nearly enough. Leafs win at 6-3. Whenever the Oilers score five or more in a game, we turn on the Japanese Village goal light on 630ched.com. Japanese Village now open for lunch at Edmonton South and West Edmonton Mall, an afternoon celebration for the senses. Visit jvedmonton.ca. You're also going to hear from Darnell Nurse. You're listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Live Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers, 630 Chad.
Okay, thanks for tuning in tonight. The Oilers lose 6-3 to the Leafs, so it has been a good run for the Oilers, but now 9-2-2 in their last 13 games. How about this for the Nashville Predators as we go to the scoreboard for Advantage Trailer Rentals, your one-stop source for commercial trailer rentals. Visit AdvantageTrailerRentals.com. 1-0 win over the Red Wings. Rob, the Predators are 15-0-2 in their last 17 games.
Yeah, and I think that since they lost 9-2, that's 17 games they've given up 30 goals, like well under 2 goals a game. They are playing good hockey, and whoever gets them in the first round, at one point you would have thought that wild card team would be the pushover. They are the hottest team in the National Hockey League. Good on them, a team that sold some players at the deadline, but a team that has found a way to win hockey games and push themselves not only into a wild card spot, but into a position where they would feel very confident going into the first round against just about anyone in the NHL.
Vancouver leads Calgary 1-0 late in the first. Panthers up 3-2 on the Rangers with about 4 minutes left in the third. Kings and Lightning scoreless early. Same deal with the Blackhawks and the Sharks and the Blue Jackets and the Golden Knights. Senators, who the Oilers have tomorrow, beat the Devils 5-2. It is the Blues over the Wild 5-4 in overtime. Islanders stop the Jets 6-3. Flyers beat the Bruins 3-2. Oil Kings, oh my goodness, I hadn't looked at this score for a while. It is 5-1 for the Oil Kings in the second period against Red Deer. I think the second period just ended, Rob. 5-1 for the Oil Kings. They host Red Deer tomorrow at 4 o'clock at Rogers Place to end off their season. The Oil Kings done in by, well, basically when the calendar turned, Rob. They start doing a lot better. Too bad for them. Too late. But, yeah, their crew, they've had some nice wins. They've had some nice wins over the last 2 or 3 months. So beating Red Deer 5-1 tonight. In curling, Canada, the Women's Worlds, they will play for gold tomorrow. They beat Korea 9-7 in the semis. Yeah, I hadn't checked the WHL site since the first period. It was 1-0 Oil Kings. So, man, they
good finish. You want to finish well before the summer starts. And I watched that Canada curling game. That was a fun game to watch. And I'm not sure there's anyone that can handle pressure in any sport better than how do you say her name? Holman?
Oh, Rachel Holman, yeah.
Rachel Holman. Oh, my goodness. When the game was on the line, she ain't missing.
Yeah. All right. Oilers lose 6-3. Just... Well, I wonder how many people didn't watch it till the end.
Well, I'm sure there were a lot of people a little unhappy after 40 minutes.
Pretty frustrating through 40 minutes as the Oilers lose again in Toronto. 7-4 last year, 6-3 this year. All right, 780-496-0063. We have Abbas on the line. Hey, Abbas, go ahead.
Hey, guys. That was, I got to say, the worst game I've ever seen. However, I'm glad that they did not give them a shutout. I'm happy with that. But what the heck went wrong in this game? I can't even tell you where I should start. But I want to hear what you guys have to say.
Well, I think what we were talking about, Ab, is just bad decisions. I mean, really, Rob, it started on the first goal against. I mean... Okay, where's Nurse going? Like you talked about, where's Nurse going? Where's Vinny going? Where's Carrick going? Somebody's got to go. They all should have gone probably to different places because there was a Maple Leaf all by himself in front of the net.
Yeah, and the Oilers compounded some of their problems tonight too by a lack of desperation after a mistake is made. Because on the first one, Nurse stood someone up at the blue line. Then Desharnais went to his guy. Then Carrick went to a guy. But there was no desperation from anyone to get back to the house. You got to read where the most dangerous player is. If you're in a position where you think, okay, I got two guys. There's a guy in front and there's a guy on the boards below the goal line. That might be my guy, but he ain't scoring from down there. I'm going to stay in the middle and try to buy some time for my teammates to come back. The mistake by Bouchard on Matthews. There's no desperation to get back to the front of the net. Connor McDavid on a 3-on-3, no desperation to get McMahon, who was the wide open guy, the scoring threat. So the Oilers through 40 minutes, they lacked desperation. And the Leafs had it. The Leafs made mistakes too. And I think Leon said it best when we talked after the game. The Oilers in the first 40 minutes did have offensive chances. They did have chances that they could have capitalized on. But then he said, but we gave up way too many against. And yeah. I think that was it. And then Chris Knobloch said the same thing. Our mistakes that we made were big mistakes. And when you make big mistakes against good hockey clubs, they're going to make you pay.
Yeah, and I talked about it with you after the second period, too. Even though the Oilers had a respectable shot total, and if the people were watching the Hockey Night in Canada game, they put up the zone time, and it was 3 or 4 minutes in favor of the Oilers after the second period. but it was, there wasn't a lot around the net. There wasn't a lot of second or third chances. There wasn't a lot of let's really wear down the Maple Leafs defenders and their goaltender.
Well, it's funny. If you would probably go through the Oilers-Vegas Golden Knights series last year into the zone entry or zone offensive time, I bet that the Oilers had a significant advantage over the Golden Knights. But the Golden Knights would put five guys in front, and you might be in the offensive zone for a long, long time, but you're not getting open looks. You're not getting second and third opportunities because we're going to have five big men in front of the net just whacking and hacking. I think we saw that with the Maple Leafs at time to do where they tried keeping the Oilers to the outside, and there was no uncontested shots. When if you look at some of the Leaf goals, uncontested shots. I mean, Holmberg backdoor by himself, McMahon standing by himself. Those are plays that we didn't see a whole lot of Edmonton Oilers guys standing by themselves with time to pick the spot. So there was just more desperation through 40 minutes by the Maple Leafs. Nice push by the Oilers in the third, but you're not coming back from five down against a good hockey club. And the Oilers made it interesting, but they weren't going to win this hockey game.
Yeah, and some strange plays, but how you handle it often determines what happens. And it's the end of a power play, and Henrique almost keeps the puck in. He doesn't, and then the puck goes back into the zone, and he doesn't want to touch it because it would have been an intentional offside and back in his own end, mm-hmm. So he doesn't touch it, but then it winds up in the Oilers. Should have he just said at this point, okay, power play's over, I don't want to give up a 3-on-1, I'm going to take a whistle here.
Oh, 100%, and he knows that as soon as it happened, that's what he should have done. But also, all the other Oilers that were on the ice should have started skating back because they know if Henrik touches the puck, it's offside. They know if he doesn't touch the puck, well, they're going to have to be in the defensive positioning, and no one did. The Leafs did. They read the play, and all of a sudden the Leafs came flying out, and they had a 3-on-1. So, yes, that was a play that a veteran player like Henrik, he should know better. And as soon as he didn't touch the puck, he's like, oh, okay, that was the wrong decision. So, but good players, smart players make mistakes at times, and Henrik made one there.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's almost a theme for tonight, Rob. Like the Oilers are... I don't think they're a dumb hockey team. I don't think they have dumb players, but they made some plays tonight that needed a better thought process, I guess, to put it politely.
Yeah, 100%. And sometimes you got to give credit to the opposition. Good teams force you to make decisions quicker. Right. And I thought the Leafs early in the game, they had speed and they were forcing the Oilers to get on them quick. But when you get on you quick, you have less time to think what you want to do with it. That's when mistakes are made, when the Oilers are their most effective. We saw in the third period, they were just buzzing all over the Leafs in the offensive zone, and the Leafs kept turning the puck over. Because if you don't have time to think of where you want to go, sometimes you just throw it, and you don't know where it's going to. So I give credit to the Leafs in the first 40 minutes for forcing the Oilers to make mistakes. And the Oilers, well, they did, and they made a lot of them, and the Leafs capitalized on them.
28 blocked shots by the Leafs tonight, 11 by the Oilers. I don't have the period breakdown, but I'm guessing a lot of those would have been in the third period. The hits were 34-31 off the NHL game sheet in favor of Toronto. But I felt, and again, especially through the first two periods, the Leafs were more physical, Rob. Like that, they came out with the mindset that they were going to be the hammer, not the nail, regardless of who it was wearing that Oilers uniform.
Well, I don't know if it's the first shift or the second shift of the game on the power play, McDavid carries the puck in to the offensive zone. He's in the corner, and Edmondson came and absolutely crushed him. I mean, and it stands out because Connor rarely gets hit. He doesn't put himself in that position, but Edmondson went right at him. Then in the second period, McCabe went hard at Draisaitl. Like, he rocked him too. Those were two pickups the last couple of years that the Leafs have gotten, big physical defensemen. They knew what their role was. And I know that Bob, after the game, said, well, if that's going to happen, that the Oilers should target the other team's best players. Well, yeah, that shouldn't be something you should have to figure out after they hit your players. Every game you play, you look at who the best players on the other team are, you try to be physical with them. It's not easy. It's not easy hitting Connor McDavid. He doesn't allow you to because he doesn't put himself in that position. Leon's a big man. He absorbs hits. But the Toronto Maple Leafs made a very conscientious effort to always find where they were to finish checks on them. And I think that frustrated the Oilers through 40 minutes, and eventually the Oilers took some penalties because of it. Darnell Nurse, or a great example, 12 minutes at the end of the period, that was a frustration penalty of some of the hits that Connor and Leon took.
Yeah. Well, and you make a great point, Rob. I mean, that's you don't wait to be physical in a game like hockey, right? Like, that's like getting shut out and saying, I guess we should have scored. You know, like, you got to go out there. And that's what I mean. There was just something, and that's why I asked you that question about if the Hyman thing was a distraction. And I get what you're saying. I wanted to ask it just because I wanted to know what you thought. But there was something wrong with the engagement level or the concentration tonight, I thought. I don't know what caused it, but it just seemed like it wasn't where it usually is.
Yeah, but I think in the first 40 minutes against Buffalo, there was a concentration issue. Then the most of the game against the Montreal Canadiens, there was a focus issue. I don't think this was a one-off. I think that the Oilers have had some wins on this last little stretch where they weren't the better team through 60 minutes, but they were the better team in a 20-minute span, and they played teams that weren't as good as them. Tonight, they just had lack of focus. Now, most of the players have nothing to do with Zach Hyman getting 50 goals. There's only two guys that really have any help in that, and that's Leon and Connor. And I didn't see them pressing to try to find him. I think that it was just a game where the Oilers did not bring their A game. And we talked about it, the game against the Sabres, game against the Canadiens. They didn't win with their A game, but you can beat those teams. Tonight, they didn't have their A game against Toronto. You don't beat good teams like Toronto without your A game, and the Oilers didn't have their A game tonight.
All right, 6-3, the Maple Leafs take it. You'll hear from Darnell Nurse when we get back to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers, 630 Chad.
Zach Hyman gets his 49th. Connor McDavid gets to 3 assists to get to 89 for the season, but not nearly enough. Oilers soundly beaten 6-3 by the Maple Leafs. Here's defenseman Darnell Nurse.
Was that kind of an odd game tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I think, it sure didn't feel like it was 5-0 going into the third. We gave them a little too many great opportunities and then found they're a good team. They're going to capitalize off them. But, we battled back there in the third and made a game of it.
You got 11 guys from Ontario. I know it's always a big game coming home for everybody. Disappointing to play, maybe into your worst periods in a long while.
Yeah, no, you want to come out and win this game, obviously. But we didn't. We move on to another one tomorrow.
The third period, at that point after two, does anyone say anything, or you just see guys kind of know, hey, listen, we can maybe mount some kind of third period? If not a full comeback, at least some momentum.
Yeah, no, I think for our group, we believe we're capable of anything in here. We've been a good third period team, so I just didn't want to quit. Just want to show our group that we didn't want to quit, and we did that. And I guess I made a game of it in the end, but we weren't good enough in the first part.
What are some of the lessons you guys can extract from this game?
Oh, just the attention to detail that it takes for a full 60 minutes as we come down the stretch. I think obviously we know, but at this point in the season, everything is heightened to such an extreme as everyone gears up for the biggest part of the season. So that's what you take from it.
Could you just describe the intensity level on the ice? It seemed to be a really intense, physical, emotional game. What was kind of your assessment of that?
Yeah, no, I think they're being being hard on our skill, trying to be the same the other way. So it was a hard game, a lot of physicality out there, but like we didn't bring enough of it in the first 40 to be able to respond. So that's on us.
That is Darnell Nurse as the Oilers lose 6-3 to the Toronto Maple Leafs. They are right back at it tomorrow, presented by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers, 2:30 for the face-off show, and the game will start at 4. Get more on this game, more on the team on globalnews.ca or on 630ched.com. Big thanks to Angie Quinnell, our studio producer this evening. On behalf of Rob Brown, I'm Reed Wilkins. Thanks for listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Talk to you tomorrow afternoon.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.